The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to Philip, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago in the mail, I received an unsolicited book. It was from a Christian education center. And due to a generous donation, the letter that came with the book said that they were sending this book out to ministers, hoping they would read it and apply these things in their life. And the name of the book was Secret Attitudes of Successful Leaders. Okay. So I thumbed through it, read parts here and there, and I quickly realized there was no secrets in this book. Such important things as set priorities in your life, define goals, do not take on too many projects, filled the pages of this book. So I started thinking about secrets. This week I typed into Google, the secret of, and after that I left it blank. And I received over 500 million hits. All sorts of things. The secret of a happy marriage. The secret of successful parenting. The secret of wealth. Secrets of leadership. Secrets of golf, secrets of tennis, you name it. Everything in the world apparently is filled with secrets. It's pretty daunting. Unless I know the secret words and the secret activities and the secret handshakes, I will be a failure at marriage. I'll be a failure at parenting. I'll be a failure at ministry. I'll be a failure at golf. A failure at tennis. You name it, I will fail. Because apparently our world is filled with secrets. But that's not true. Our world is not filled with secrets. Our world has knowledge. Our world has wisdom. Our world has experience. And we take knowledge and wisdom and experience, education, and we combine these things. And we apply them in our lives. Sometimes we succeed. Sometimes we fail. And hopefully, whether it is in success or failure, we learn and we grow. It'd be nice to think that there were secrets. Secrets to losing weight. Secrets to the perfect marriage. Secrets to having the perfect children. Secrets to the perfect career. Secrets to making us rich, because secrets are very easy. Secrets can be shared quickly. Secrets can be applied quickly. Secrets say that I have something you don't have. I have an inside track to all the things I want. I don't need to put the work into life. I don't need to experience failure. I don't need to risk vulnerability because I have the secret to unlock my future. I have a power that you don't have. But that's not the case. Instinctively, I think we know that. We know the secret to losing weight is exercise and diet. But that doesn't stop a whole multi-billion dollar industry from telling us differently. We know that the secret to marriage involves fidelity. It involves humor and compassion. It involves mutuality. It involves forgiveness. It involves effort. That doesn't mean there's not a whole multi-billion dollar industry to sell us something different. We know the secret to children. It's complicated. But it involves love and tears and patience and forgiveness and time and failure and learning and you name it. But it is not easy. And it is not found within the pages of a 200-word book. There's no secret. But yet, we want to believe there is. We want to believe that there is an easy out. An easy out that means we don't experience failure. An easy out that means we don't have to work hard. An easy out that means we don't have to risk ourselves. We don't have to make ourselves vulnerable. An easy out that means we never experience heartache. But we don't have the easy out. We do not have the secrets. We desire them. We buy books that tell us, yes, they have the answer. We buy little pills that say, yes, they have the answer. We follow the words of people who tell us they have the answer. But at the end of the day, we know that they do not have the answer. They have motivation. They have advice. They might have wisdom or experience to share. But they do not have an easy path. For every life is different. Every marriage experiences its own struggles. Every parent experiences their own relationship with their children. Every career involves its own pitfalls. Every life is unique. And so what I learned in mine, maybe you can apply in yours. And what you learn in yours, maybe I can apply in mine. Even as we live lives of faith, we struggle with different things. We experience sin differently. We experience forgiveness differently. We experience the cross differently. To say that Jesus died for you means something different to everyone. What are we liberated from? What is our good news? What is our hope? There is no secret answer. This is why we hear in our reading today. As we start in faith, we are fed milk. We are equated to infants. We are nourished by God, but we grow. And in our growing, just like children, we are called to learn. To experience. We will fail. We will be forgiven. We will stumble and we will fall, but we are called to get back up. And in that process, as we grow and as we learn and as we mature, then we are fed the meat of faith. We start asking difficult questions. We start wrestling with difficult issues. We realize that there are no path and easy answers as we live our lives. We recognize that to be faithful means that sometimes we will experience failure. Sometimes we will experience joy. Sometimes we will laugh and sometimes we will cry. But we do not deny that reality. Secrets. Today Jesus comes before his followers and he starts talking about the good news of heaven. That this is about something. That ultimately we are free from sin, death, and the devil. That the physical world at one point in our future will have no more hold on us. Poverty and disease, depression, hardship, war, physical, natural disasters, it doesn't matter. At a point in our future, this heavenly point, whether it is through death or the resurrection of the life to come, we are freed. And in that freedom, we experience heaven together. And the apostles are scratching their heads. And they want to see a glimpse of this heaven. And Jesus says, if you know me, you know God. So Philip says, hold on, show us God. Let us see God. I want the easy answer. I want to see God. And if I see God, then everything will be okay. That's like us saying in the hospital room, if this tumor goes away, everything's okay. If this lawsuit goes away, everything's okay. If this letter from the bank goes away, everything's okay. But not everything's okay. Because life is complicated. There is no secret to happiness. There is no secret that provides us with a life of never worrying, of never doubting, of never caring, of never being involved. So Jesus says to Philip, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You have seen God in healings. You have seen God in lives changed. You have seen the power in God in the words that are preached, in the lives that are changed, in the good news that has been shared with others. And that you have seen God. And if you have seen God in those things, if you have seen me in those things, then you have seen heaven. And you have seen the good news. That's powerful. That's liberating. Jesus says, look, I'm in God and God is in me. And this is where we get to the theology. The hard to wrap our head around kind of thing. As Christians, we confess that God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is fully human. He's born like us. He lives like us. He gets hungry like us. And he's fully divine. He can walk on water. We can't walk on water. He makes the blind see. We can't make the blind see. He feeds 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and fish. We can't feed 5,000 with a few loaves and bread. Jesus is also different than us. Fully human and fully divine. What does this mean for us? In Jesus' humanity, we see ourselves. As Jesus reflects God to us, we see ourselves. Jesus takes on the world because he knows a life of faith means to take on the world. And so in Jesus, we see despair. We see hurt and anguish and betrayal. We see doubt and we see poverty and we see sickness. In Jesus Christ, we see ourselves. For we battle all these things. But as these things are overcome, we see God. As Christ is hanging on the cross, we see ourselves crucified, recognizing our imperfection, recognizing our sinfulness, recognizing our desires to serve ourselves rather than serve God and the needs of our neighbor. But in the empty tomb, we see our hope. We see our salvation. We see our future. This is how we're called to lead our lives. We are called to conform ourselves to Christ so that the more we live like Christ, the more we experience God. If we live fully human lives, we will more fully experience God. If we lead lives that are honest, that recognize there's failure and there is sinfulness and there is tears and sorrow and doubt and betrayal, the more that we live lives that recognize these things of Christ, the more holy our lives will be. If we hide from these things, if we deny these things, if we do not give these things our attention, then we deny the power of God. We do not need forgiveness because we're perfect. We do not need healing because we're healthy. We do not need support because everyone loves us. But that's not true. All of us, each of us gathered here today, experience these things in our lives. We experience sickness, despair, loneliness, poverty, doubt, frustration, anguish, you name it. We experience these things. But do we take them with a holy mind and say, God, Where is the resurrection coming? How are you working through these things to provide me with a new day? How are you working through these things to teach me, to give me wisdom, to give me learning, to give me strength? And in that process, we become more divine. We conform ourselves more closely to Christ. You see, when someone tries to sell you a secret, the secret of anything, the secret of golf, they are trying to sell you an escape clause. You don't need to work at it. You don't need to struggle at it. You don't need to fail at it. You simply take my words, my secrets, and apply them, and you will have perfection. So when the world tries to sell you the secret of marriage, the secret of happiness, the secret of wealth, the secret of leadership, the secret of faith, whatever it may be, don't buy into it. Because they are selling you a false gospel. Ours is a gospel that calls us to challenge life, to take life head on, to go into the world and say, yeah, I'm going to stumble, I'm going to fall. But in the process, I am growing. My faith is maturing, my knowledge of God is becoming greater, and that's the good news of Christ for me. Do not be deceived. We're living in the year 2014. We have the internet, cable television, the printing press. If there were true secrets to these things, they'd be revealed. If there was simply a device you could buy, magic words you could say, beans you could plant in the ground, we'd have it figured out. But here we are, 214 years after Jesus, and we're wrestling with the exact same things that he and his followers wrestled with. Despair. Poverty. Violence, sadness, mourning, sickness, loneliness. And how are these things overcome? By God. By taking these things and transforming them into a true knowledge, into a true wisdom. Not a wisdom or a knowledge that says, I can beat them. I'll never suffer from that again. I'll never cry at a funeral again. I'll never worry about my children again. I'll never worry about my bank balance again. No! A wisdom that says, in the process of experiencing these things, I know that God is with me. I know that I am being transformed. I know that a better day is coming. I know that mine is a future with hope. I know that me and you will share in the resurrection to come. I know that these things that seem so important right now are not eternal. I know that I am a child of God. I know that I am a follower of Christ. And I know that nothing, not angels or demons, not death nor life, will separate me from the love that I have in God. Amen.